Jesus, it is a privilege to stand before this group of people, our family here at Impact Christian Church. We truly are a forever family, no matter whether we see ourselves as being a part of this group for a moment, or weeks, or years. We are going to be together in heaven forever because of these relationships that you've allowed us to have. I just pray for these next few minutes again and just ask that you would, as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts and our spirits and our minds to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series, and I might have one more week in it, but I think we call it Thoughts Worth Thinking About, or Thoughts That Are Worth Thinking. And I tell you every week that we think so many thoughts. So many thoughts go through our head on a daily basis. And so much so that we have a hard time shutting them off at night sometimes when we go to bed, and we can't seem to function. We can't seem to go to sleep. We can't seem to get some kind of relief. So we just keep thinking, and we think, and we think. Most of our thoughts that we think are not thoughts that are thoughts that we should really think about, but because so many things go unresolved in our life, because we're so busy, and because the devil likes to use every opportunity to confuse us, to make us think about everything else but what we should, we think about things that we shouldn't. And today, we want to talk about a thought that a lot of us don't like to think about, but maybe we need to think about it in a different way. And so basically what we've been talking about is changing the way you think. Changing the way that things that come in here and here and through your physical body and senses, they come out in your mind. They do a work one way or the other. Some of them work really hard at you, and some of them do things that enhance you and make you more like Jesus. So today we're going to talk about how do you change your mind about pain. Most of you, you are very familiar with pain, and we have issues in our life. Some of them are little troubles. Some of them are not. Some of them nip at our heels. And some of those things take our breath away. Some of you have had gut-wrenching pain in the last 3 to 5 years. Some of you had gut-wrenching pain the last couple months. Maybe you had pain that happened 30 years ago, and you're still dealing with that pain. And today I want to talk about that. How do you change the way you look at pain? Because most of us, when we look at pain, we look at it in a hard way because we try to shy away from it. We try to medicate it. We try to forget it. We try to move on past it. We try to do whatever we can to not think about pain. Ecclesiastes says this. I'm going to read it right off the screen today. 2:22 and 23. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving for which they labor under the sun? All their days they work. Their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. We deal with pain on a very what's next kind of level. You get through one pain and another pain pops up. You get through, I know we've talked about discouragement. We've talked about things, but today I'm talking about pain. Things that cause you hurt in your spirit, in your body, in your mind, and in your heart. Why is life so difficult? If you ever read Ecclesiastes, you see that the writer there is basically his summation of life is meaningless. It's meaningless. It's all meaningless. Why do we even live? Well, of course, we know as Jesus people, we know it's not meaningless. We know that it has purpose. We know that God has a plan for us. And how many, there's been so many studies that have been done throughout the ages where human beings are able to handle enormous amounts of pain. And you, some of you, have handled enormous amount of pain. And if we know that there's a good purpose for that pain, we're okay with it. For instance, many of you women have given birth to a child. Giving birth is painful. But women bear the pain for a great purpose. They bring forth a life. and you go, ooh, that was worth it. See, pain with a purpose is manageable. Pain without purpose is unimaginable. And that's the world we're living with. So many people are in pain, and they don't see the purpose in their pain. And if you don't see the purpose in your pain, you will view life as unimaginable. I remember I told you, and you walked through this with me. A few weeks ago, I went through a surgery. I volunteered for a surgery to get my heart looked at and kind of burnt in a particular spot. And so what that did was I knew going into it, even though I'd been shocked many times before and had that done to my heart, I knew this was going to be very painful. But anyway, I volunteered because I knew that in the end, something good was going to happen. God gave us the Bible, and he gave us his Holy Spirit when we become a Jesus person, to be able to manage pain, that is life, to be able to find a purpose in the pain that you walk through. Romans 8:28, a verse that we use 1,000 times. Every preacher on the face of the earth uses this so many times, but I use it again this morning because it is so relevant in talking about what we're going to speak about here in just a moment. It says this: we know all things, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things are good. Obviously, there's a lot of bad things in the world. And most of you are finding that out or found it out pretty much on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. Not everything that happens in your life is good. You shouldn't even act like everything that happens in your life is good. Anybody that acts like that, they're just covering something up. They're just faking it. There's a lot of bad things that happen in this world to you and to other people. The fact of the matter is there's sin in this world. And as long as there's sin, there's going to be pain. Horrible, hard, unimaginable pain for some of us. Listen, church, everybody has pain. And some of you are profiting from it, and some of you aren't. You don't know yet how to learn from a loss. Everybody has losses. But you either learn from them and move on, or you stay in them and you wallow, and you wallow, and you wallow. God doesn't create pain. There's enough pain in this world, plenty of pain. God wants to use pain for good. Are you listening? Listen. If you ever listen to me, listen today, because I think this is a day that God wants to do something in somebody in this room. Never waste hurt. God doesn't. God has a purpose for every pain, for every boo-boo, for everything that goes on in your life. He has a plan for it. God wants to use it for good, for your good, or for someone else's good. And so today, I think I said to this, ways to use your pain for God or ways to use your pain for the kingdom. Here's some suggestions I want you to grasp onto today, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to ingrain this into you. For if you came in here hurting, listen to these things that the Bible says this morning. The first one is this: use pain to draw close to God and to trust him more. Use pain to draw closer to God and to trust him more. When something painful happens to you, you've got a choice. You can run to God or you can run away from God. Which one's it going to be? Think about this. If you're running away from God, what in the world are you running to? Who could help you more in pain? Who could help your pain more than God? Why not run to God first? Now, we don't like to draw close to God, because when we draw close to God, he gets a chance to speak to us, to speak things into us. And sometimes what we hear, we don't like. Because we kind of are comfortable with the things that are going on. So don't rock the boat, God, okay? How do you do that? It's a very natural thing if you think about it. If there's a hurricane or you're in the middle of a tornado, the first words you don't cry out is not, let's go on vacation. You cry out, oh God! You cry out, oh God, what? You don't say stupid things like that. But that's what you do when you get in pain or you're getting stressed. I'll go to this thing that made me feel good that one time. I'll go to this pill. I'll go to this person. I'll go to this behavior. And I'll try to find relief from this oncoming tornado that is barreling straight at me. You use prayer to unload your sorrows, to unload your grief, to unload your pain. If you're not doing that, you are carrying around pain that is not yours to carry. And I don't care if it happened to you when you were a kid. You're carrying around pain that you don't need to carry. And it is weighing you down. You don't suppress it. What you do is you confess it to God and say, God, this is my pain. He knows, but he wants to hear you. You love it when your children say things like that. Mom and Dad, I'm hurting. You love it when they come to you. You love it when they crawl up in your lap and say, Mommy and Daddy, I got a tummy ache. That's how God is with you. He made you. He loves you beyond a fathom of a doubt. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10 says this. Paul says it. I'm going to read it up here because it's important that you read it too. We were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. Isn't that the truth? But that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us. And he did help us. He did help us. Put everything into the hands of God, and he helped Paul. The Bible time and time again says that God is close to the brokenhearted. Anybody here brokenhearted today? God is never more close to you than when you're in pain. God says to you today, turn to me. Turn to me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:19, Paul, we've been talking about Paul and using Paul so much because Paul is an incredible man who showed us how to handle discouragement, showed us how to handle pain. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 7:19, I am glad, and not because it hurts you, because pain turns you to God. Pain turns you to God. Because if you're not turned to God, you know who you're turned to? The other guy. You're listening to the other guy. You're tuned in to the other guy. Pain turns you to God. I'm glad. Not because you're hurting, but because it turns you to God. The problem solver. The savior of all things. Not just your soul. Pain. He has something that he wants to do. Don't waste your pain. Let God show you what he wants to do through the thing that you're hurting about right now. I'm lonely. I'm so pained. I've just got this spot. Let God meet you right where you are. The second way we can show God in our lives through our pain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because this is a kind of a just throwing it out there real quick kind of thing. You use pain to draw close to others. You use pain to draw close to people that you don't normally do. And we call this, in the church, fellowship. And that's why so many people are not coming to church. They don't want the fellowship. Not just this church, a lot of churches. Because I don't want people knowing my business. I don't want people knowing my pain. I don't want people knowing that I got problems going on. And don't ask me to get in one of those dang small groups, because I don't want any part of that. I don't want nobody knowing nothing. If I do, I'll breeze into church for 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll go in there and I'll sing, and or I'll watch everybody else sing, and then I'll go home. Galatians says this in 6 verse 2. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. You truly obey the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Glad you ask. It's love your neighbor as yourself. When you share with each other in the suffering, you hurt other. You hurt with people who are hurt. You need to hurt with people who are hurting. You need to come alongside of other people hurting. You don't carry these pains alone. You allow some other people that you learn to trust to handle that pain with you. They're not going to do anything for it except what? Walk alongside of you. Walk alongside of you and go, sister, brother, let's walk. Let's walk. Pain teaches you how to really love, because if you've had loss, you understand what it means to lose. And when somebody else loses, you either stand by and laugh and say nothing, or you press in and you go, honey, come here, let's talk. And you don't tell them about all your pain, but you share moments. You share moments with each other. Moving on from this, you draw close to others. And number 3, you grow deeper like Jesus in your character. You grow deeper like Jesus in your character. What is character? It's who you are when nobody's around. It's who you are and what you do when nobody is in the room. And every time you're in pain, it's an opportunity to work on your attitude. It's an opportunity to work on your virtue. It's an opportunity to say, this is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to do something that I know I shouldn't do. The Bible talks about the spirit of the fruits. There's 9 of them. There are 9 of them. Peace, joy, meekness, self-control, and on and on. I'm not going to quote them all because I just forgot them. The Bible says these are what happens when the Spirit is living you. Those 9 things happen in you. They happen. How does God build these 9 fruits inside of you? By putting you in the exact opposite of those situations. He teaches you love when you're around unlovely people. Oh, I get it. He teaches us joy in the middle of grief. Oh, I see. He teaches you patience by putting you in situations where you have to wait. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to wait. I don't want to sit here and know if I'm going to have a meal tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to have a place to live tomorrow. I don't want to sit here and wait. Listen, pain is an opportunity to grow in character like Jesus, because, again, it's a choice. You have choice to have character or to not have character. The Holy Spirit wants to develop your character. When you're in pain, you can be bitter, or you become better. It's your choice. Pain can be a stepping stone to maturity, or a being a baby about it, and crying, and screaming, and yelping, oh me, poor me, poor me. Proverbs 20, verse 30, I love this verse. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody been there? Just Elizabeth. I think more of you have been. Sometimes it takes feeling the heat before you do anything about it. Anybody feeling the heat today? See, when you're born again, God wants to make you like Jesus. That's the whole reason why you are born again. That's the whole reason. He is a perfect model of humanity. Everything Jesus did was perfect. Now, here's the corollary to what I just talked about just a second ago. If God's going to make me like Jesus, then he's going to take me through everything that Jesus went. Did Jesus experience pain? Heck yeah. Did Jesus experience time when he was lonely? Heck yeah. Was he tempted to be discouraged? Heck yeah. Did he have pain? If God is going to make you like Jesus, he's going to take you through everything that God, his son, went through. Hebrews 5:8 says this, and 5:9. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. We learn from suffering. We learn from suffering. We learn from trials, or we should. Some of you are a bunch of dunces because you're not learning. And then 5:9, he says this. Suffering made Jesus perfect, and now he can save forever all who obey him. Everybody stumbles. Everybody falls. Everybody has failures. Poor body's nerfed. What was Paul's secret to get back up? What was his secret? It was that he understood that he had a greater purpose for his life. Do you? Or is it just working at the store where you work at? Or is it just working at the place where you work at? Is that just your purpose? And then to retire? And then to get old and cranky and crotchety and fall apart? Is that your purpose? I said this earlier. You can handle unbelievable pain if you know there's a reason for it. Here's the purpose that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. It should come up on the screen. He says this, for this reason, this is the reason we shall never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. I want you to listen to that because all of you are getting older today. Everybody in this room is getting older. You are. And you're going to get discouraged because your physical body's not going to do what it used to be. When you're 20, you go, I can face the world. I can go out late, stay up every night, go to work, do all the things I need to do, and get her done. You can do that when you're 30. When you're 40, you wake up and you go, oh my God, what just happened to my body? And then you hit 50 and 60 and 70, and you go, oh my God, what happened to my body? But, Paul says, here's the but. Our spiritual being is being renewed day after day after day. For what purpose? Well, of course it's for eternity, but you know what else for? So that you've got something between here that you can share with some other Nimrod going through the same thing that you are. And if you keep it in, you're hiding your light under a bushel. If you keep it in, you're hiding your light under a bushel. Paul says you can't stop the aging process, but you can renew your spirit every day. And then he says this in verse 17. Follow this. These temporary troubles we suffer will bring us tremendous eternal glory. The reward in heaven is much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Because what can be seen lasts only for a time. It's temporary. But what cannot be seen lasts forever. Start focusing on the things that last forever and not on the things that are going to go one day. Yes, you're in pain right now, but you're going to benefit from it in heaven, and you're going to receive rewards, and you're going to reap the benefits for trillions and trillions of years. Take your pain and put the face of eternity on it. Number 4, Number four, I'm gonna speed up. I'm just about done. Use pain to become more sensitive to serving each other, to serving others. Use your pain to serve others. Now listen to this for a minute. I'm going to spend a minute. This is called redemptive pain. You have pain and you use it to redeem. You redeem your pain by sharing in somebody else's pain, by walking along somebody else. It doesn't matter what pain you've gone through. Jesus wants your suffering to be redemptive, to go along someone else, and to say, let's walk through this together. 2 Corinthians, Paul again, 1-4-6 says this: God comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. He gives you comfort from your pain so you can comfort others, not so you can get out of pain. Paul says, the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So he says, when we're weighed down with troubles, when you're weighed down with pain, it's for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, we do it so we can turn and be an encouragement to somebody else. Who could be more helpful than somebody who's been molested, helping somebody else who's been molested? Who's more qualified to help somebody who struggled with drugs than somebody who struggled with drugs? Who's more helpful than somebody who has lost other people in their lives to help other people who have lost in their lives than you? The point is this, church. Stop wasting your pain. Stop wasting the hurt. I know it hurts. You know it hurts. Don't waste it. And lastly, number five, God wants your pain to witness to the world. And I don't know. I'm not talking about Franklin. I'm not talking about, Kosovo. I'm not talking about Moscow. I'm talking about the people in your space, where you work, where you breathe, where you play, whatever it is you do. God wants to use you as a witness in your world. He wants to use your pain to help people in your sphere. Paul was a pro at this. He was an incredible witness. In Philippians 1:12, Paul writes this: I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, and he tells them, and when he's writing this, you know what's going on, remember? He's chained to a prison guard, and he's writing this eloquy of encouraging other people. He's sitting there writing encouragement letters while he's sitting in his own, wow, what a dude. Well, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me, this is how he goes, has helped to spread the good news. Paul says, I actually use my pain to model the message that God has given me. I model the pain, the message with my pain. You ever thought about that? Instead of being lonely all the time, go find somebody else who's lonely and come alongside of him. Go find somebody else that's hurting. Come alongside of him. You see, if Paul had been chained up in prison, if he wasn't chained up in prison, I don't believe this would have been written. I believe it would have gone unwritten. And we wouldn't be sitting here listening to this day. But he was obedient. He listened to God. Then he says in 2 Corinthians, he says this in number 4, 6-4. If everything we do, we try to show that we are true servants of God. Woo! In everything we do, even the pain. My dad was horrible. I got a divorce. On and on. We gripe. Every area of pain that you have in this life is an opportunity to model the message. The message of the witness of who Jesus is. You have a testimony. Tonight, I hope that that we have this campfire, because you're going to hear a testimony from a guy up there in the box. It's got a pretty good one. You said you stand here today and you go, well, Jeff, I don't got a testimony. Yes, you do. You ever gone through bankruptcy? You ever gone through not having anything in your life and all of a sudden you got something? You ever had any marriage conflict? You ever had a divorce? You ever had two divorces? You ever had a rebellious child? You ever had a child that you go, what in the world did I just raise? Who did I raise? Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your hurt. There are people going on and on and on every day with pain. And you could be that model witness. The band's going to come, and I'd like you to stand, and we're going to pray. I want to pray for you. So if you would stand, please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that no matter what we go through, how difficult it is, how devastating it is, because you said, you know all things. We're going to trust you today that together all things come together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God, we've talked about these five purposes this morning of pain and about allowing you to change us through the pain, in the pain, and out of the pain. I pray, God, that there's someone here today that will turn to you with their pain, and they will give it to you, that they will find ways this day to be that person in somebody's life, to be that model witness. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to just walk through this room right now, and it would convict those of us that are struggling with pain, with discouragement, with sin. Those of us tried and tried and tried. And here we stand before you today with the same issue.